Greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Good to see you today. And those of you that are Zooming or watching us later, we greet you as well. Glad that you have joined us. No matter where you are from or where you are at, good to have you with us today. I do want to just give you some announcements. There's some that most of them are in the bulletin here today. But just want you to know that one that isn't is that if you have given a contribution to Harbor of Joy, the statements are made out. They're out by the secretary's office on the ledge out there in the foyer. And you can pick up your contribution. Your name is on the letter out there. And we appreciate your giving over this past year as well. Also, being that Patty is back from Tanzania, we are glad to see you. And that means that Joy, us kids, are going to get back on track. So on Wednesday nights, the 5th and 6th grade will be meeting here, starting now this Wednesday. And then will we be doing some of the camera stuff, or where are we at with that?
Joy Kids on YouTube starts up again Wednesday.
Okay, Joy Kids on YouTube also starts up on Wednesday. So, kind of get back to the full swing of how things have gone on before Christmas. And we'll just do what we do. Along the way, if you got any questions, call the church office and they'll let you know what's happening, I guess. I do want to remind you that if you haven't been a part of the Lunch with a Bunch on Thursday, it's a Bible study in the book of Revelation. We are on chapter 16, I believe, is where we're at with that. Getting into some of the nuts and bolts of that book. And speaking for Norma, she just says, let's just get past this and get to chapters 21 and 22.
Yeah.
And if you know anything about the book of Revelation, you understand why she says that. So, we are very thankful that we can go through it. I'm learning a lot in it. And also next Saturday is the first Saturday in February. We have to say goodbye to January after today. And we have a men's breakfast at Perkins here in Milford at 7:30 this Saturday morning. And we invite all the men to come and be a part of that men's breakfast. Always a good time there. We do have some losses since the last time we worked together. Probably knew about Skip Hughes last Sunday. But we just think of Wayne Sunday's brother, Arnold, who passed away. We got word on that this past week. So Wayne Sunday's brother, Arnold, is gone, and his wife, Karen, is also affected by this. We got Dan Williams, who we've been praying for, friends of Bobby and Scott Barry, who passed away from COVID. And his wife is also in the hospital, so I don't know how that all has come together with that. But just keep these people in mind, Colette, the Dan Williams family, and the Wayne Sunday family with losses that have taken place in their lives this past week. And I just want to let you know that Dave Conby, somebody said, like, which is it? Is he at home or is he in Sioux Falls? Well, the latest is he's in Sioux Falls. He did have a blood transfusion, and that's the last we know. We had some trouble with fluid building up because kidneys were not working, and he's got congestive heart failure. There's a lot of things against him, but he's in Sioux Falls, the last I have heard. And so just keep him and Jan in your prayers. I know they're watching us today, if at all possible, and if not, they'll probably watch us later on this week. But our hearts and prayers go out to Dave and Jan. Love you, and want you to get back, just like with Walt Meyer and Cheryl Meyer as well. Walt has gone through some treatment down in Yuma, Arizona. They'll be coming back in a year before the next 2 weeks are up. He's got some more doctoring to do in Sioux Falls. And just keep some people in your minds that are in the bulletin today. Got John Seifer, his surgery went well. He's back at home. Just so you know that. We're grateful for Mary Ann keeping us up in the loop with John. And then Denny Kelly is also dealing with some eye issues. Hey there, Denny. Good to see you today. I'll talk to you later about how the eyes are going, what's happening there with you. But not always a fun thing to have to go through by any means. Our Operation Christmas Child, the boxes, you know, we sent 80 of them. We found out where they went. Went to Georgia. Not Georgia, the state of the United States, but Georgia, the country, on the other side of the world. It's by the Black Sea, and it's near Russia. It's north of Turkey and Azerbaijan. It's kind of that part of the world is where our boxes went to. It's kind of nice to know where they went to. And pray that the kids who received them and the families who got to see their children smile and laugh and open up their boxes, we pray that it is a wonderful time for them. I'd like to remind the ladies that there is a Bible study that's going to start for the ladies. You can sign up today if you haven't already. I believe that that's also by the secretary's big window on the ledge. You can sign up there if you want to get a book. It's Angie Smith's new DV called Matchless, and it will be starting on Tuesdays at 9:30 in the morning in the Fireside Room, and that's on February 16th. 2 days after what?
Valentine's Day,
that's right. Valentine's Day. So those are the announcements here this morning. And let's just look to the Lord in prayer this morning before I turn it back over to the praise band today. Heavenly Father, we are glad that we are here today, knowing that you are here with us as well as with those that are listening and tuning in to us on Zoom or some other way. And our hearts just go out, Lord, to these families that are going through loss. Pray for Colette Hughes, Lord, at the loss of Skip, and how life has changed for her, and as she deals with living alone now, that may she know that your presence is with her and that she can rely on you and lean on you at any time. Pray for Wayne and his family, Karen, as they go through the loss of a brother as well as a brother-in-law. And I think that was somewhat of a, I don't know if it was a surprise or not, but we know that Arnie had gone on hospice. And so there were some things that were taking place and going on. And you called him home. And we just thank also, Lord, for Dan Williams. Lord, we just never know what takes place, what's going to happen in our lives. And we just trust you that you would be close to this family as they deal with loss as well. And so we are grateful for your word that says that you are the resurrection and the life. And that if anyone who believes in you, even though we die, we still live. We thank you for that promise, Lord, and we thank you this morning that you brought us together in one way or another, and that we have Jesus Christ to look to and to have as our Savior each and every day of our lives and of the year. We pray for this coming year. We don't know what's in store, what's ahead, but you do, Lord. And so nothing will take you by surprise, but give us, Lord, the faith, the tenacity, the hope that comes from you, just to be able to know that you are in our lives and in our hearts and that we serve you. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
The song that we've been doing for the month, this glorious day, it happened to be a month that had 5 Sundays, so this would be the last one for a glorious day. And then just to let you know, not a new song in March, no, February, but we will have one in March and we will have one in April. So it's good to have you all here this morning and to know that it's a glorious day, that we have a Lord that the darkness flees because of the resurrection power of Jesus. And so we have a glorious day for the last night.
From Angie Lickard, and she said, this just fit right in with the message today. And she was talking about Mandy Rogers, who our church supports as a missionary who is in what country? I'm not going to say it because I'm going to have her talk about it. But she had sent a video to Angie, and I watched it, and I'm going, this is great. I mean, I don't even know who this girl is, but now I feel I do know her. And maybe there's some of you others that are here that have never met her, probably seen her picture out on the bulletin board, but now you're going to get to hear her and meet her kind of in person via the video that she made. It's just excellent. And then after that, I'm going to call on Patty Griffiths to tell us a little bit about her time in Tanzania in the last couple of weeks here. So can we get that on there, Steve? There she is.
My name is Mandy Roger. I'm coming to you from my apartment here in Bucharest, Romania, and I am one of the missionaries that you support. So I wanted to, though it's not ideal, it would be so wonderful to be together with you all. Just wanted to share a little bit about myself, and thank you also for your support, which allows me to be over here and doing the work that I'm doing. So, yes, my name is Mandy Roger. I know of you and was connected to you all through Al and Angie Lickhart. So, hello, Angie and Al. I grew up in Sheldon, Iowa, was born and raised there. My parents, Doug and Lita Roger, are also from that area. My dad, Doug, has been in Sheldon all his life, and my mom is from Boyden. So yeah, definitely Northwest Iowa folk. So yeah, I graduated from Sheldon in 2007, played many sporting events up in your guys' area. And after that, then I went to Wartburg College in Waverly, Iowa, and graduated from there with a social work major. And while I was there, that's when God started really putting on my heart Romania, though I had no idea what that meant or what that would become. Romania was definitely something that, as we were learning about children and how to best care for them and what they need for their development and things like that, we're also learning about this country of Romania where children were not taken care of in the horrific orphanage conditions that were here when Nicolae Ceausescu was the communist dictator. So, so I was learning about Romania, didn't know, again, like I said, what that would become, but after I graduated college, I always had a passion for abandoned children, fostering, adoption, that kind of thing, but also people with special needs. And so after college then, I went to Pennsylvania and did a year with AmeriCorps. And I lived and worked with people with disabilities in a community setting and loved it. So after that year then with AmeriCorps, I got a job in Iowa Falls and started going to a need-free church there in Iowa Falls and learned about this organization called Reach Global. And so while I was at the E-Free Church then and became a part of their missions team and took a class called Perspectives. I don't know if any of you have heard about this class called Perspectives. If it's ever in your area, definitely take it. But it changed my whole outlook on life and just a desire to do missions, to go and do missions as a young, what was I at the time, 23, 24-year-old or so. So anyway, so did that, did those courses, and it's actually a miracle story. I was on Reach Global's website one day. There had been a typhoon in the Philippines, and as I was looking about how to send money, how to support this cause that they were doing there, this box popped up on my computer screen on the bottom right corner, and said special needs / orphan advocate, enter your email address here. And so though I loved my job that I was doing in Iowa Falls, I also love special needs and orphans. And so decided to enter my email address there and began conversations with someone who was wanting to know about my passions and my desires and what God has created me to do. And I shared with this person about orphans and about special needs. And he informed me that he was the leader of the team in Bucharest, Romania. would be a good fit. And so, long story short, that was a few years ago now. I have been a missionary here on the Bucharest City team since 2015. And my title is Special Needs / Orphan Advocate. But that's changed some in recent years. In 2019, I became a co-leader on the Bucharest City team, and so that very leader, actually, who sent me an email however many years ago that was, 7 years ago or so, 8 years ago, is now my co-leader on the team. So what I do over here is to, what I do now during COVID is even longer than it was before, but to be with the children in the orphanage. I go to an orphanage specifically that is for children with disabilities, and so to bring the word of God in there, I partner with Romanian organizations here and bring God's word in. We sing together, we do crafts together, we study his word. We tell them, you are loved, you are precious, you are valued. And along with that, then working with Romanians and a part of a local church here and a small group here, and love encouraging them and challenging them in their walk with the Lord, and learning more about how they live that out as well, and providing different opportunities for them to also be aware of abandoned children and to support them as well, but even more than abandoned children. That's just one cause, right? But them growing in their relationship with the Lord. And so love doing that. And then on the team, I do like strategic and vision planning for the goals and the vision that we have here. Which is, we as the Bucharest City team believe that God will send out believers from Bucharest into Bucharest, into Romania, into countries beyond to spread his good news and his gospel. So love being a part of this team. Our team is involved in different areas in the city. Myself and another colleague work with abandoned children, but other people work with refugees and immigrants and expats and at a school here. So Muslims, just lots of different things. So love being a part of that and encouraging them. I'm in a mentorship role, a coaching role with different people on the team, and so really enjoy that. So this was supposed to be a short video. I'm watching the clock tick, and we're almost at 7 minutes, and so yeah, I hope this gives you an introduction to myself, my family, and also to how God called me here and what it is that he's called me to. So thank you for your support. Thank you for being a part of this journey, for allowing me, through your gifts and your prayers, to be over here in Romania. And so thank you for that. And I do look forward one day to meeting you all and just being able to learn more about you all as well. So again, thank you very much. As we say in Romania, mulțumesc, which means thank you, and papa, which means bye-bye.
Here is an Iowa young lady who had a passion to work with orphans and special needs people and had a heart for Romania, of all places. And look where God took her. You know, she didn't know that that's how things would work in her life. Just like when God told Simon and his brother Andrew, as well as James and John, come, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Mandy's learned that. And so has Patty as well along the way. So I'm glad we got Patty here to, I'm just going to ask you a few questions here. Oh my, that's, well, let's see how much time I got to preach, you know. So, a short letter. Okay, are we on here, Steve? Yeah, all right, there you go. Well, tell us, how long did it take you to get over to Tanzania?
I don't know, the one flight was 12 hours, coming back it was 17 plus.
Unbelievable.
It's on the other side of the world.
It is. So once you got to Tanzania, did somebody meet you at the airport?
Yes.
Who met you?
Humphrey and Lawrence.
Okay. Humphrey and Lawrence. I know Lawrence.
Yeah.
Don't know Humphrey.
Humphrey is our new site director.
Okay, then how far or how long does it take to get to the airport to where the site is?
Well, the airport's kind of between two cities, so it's in the middle of nowhere. And
okay.
So it takes about 45 minutes to get to Arusha, which is the second largest city in Tanzania.
Okay.
And then the village where we have our vocational training center is about an hour from Arusha.
Okay, so it's Next Life Foundation.
Next Life Foundation. And Lawrence and I founded that. Lawrence, I claim, is my Indian son. About 6 years ago, we founded that. So it was a good trip. It was a hard trip. It was fulfilling. It was frustrating. So along with all that, a lot of surprises that I didn't expect. I knew it would be hard going into it. I took a bunch of cross necklaces to people women that I knew I should take a gift to. I had an extra one, so one of those hard days, I opened it up. It says faith, and this card was in there. It says faith does not make things easy, it makes them possible. Just what I needed. So let me just give you a few of the highlights. Our administrative staff has had a really tough time. Our landlord is trying to get rid of us. He's a Muslim landlord. But you know, a little over a year ago, God blessed us with 3 acres of new property, and we got a good start on it. So we can get there. And he always provides, God always provides. And Mary, our director, she's like, I gotta get out of here. I'm getting calls from the landlord every day. We have a new neighbor that's really bothersome. They're kind of worried about our female students. And so Lynn is on our board, and emailed all our board members here in the States. She says, well, why don't you consecrate some oil and put it on all the doorposts? So we did. We got some olive oil, and Mary and I, she was so excited. We prayed over this oil, and we went, and we got all the buildings. We got all the sewing machines. We all got all the woodworking materials. We prayed over them. We put the sign of the cross on all the students' heads, our Muslim students. I just blessed because I didn't want to offend them and have them go home and their parents not let them come back. But they were giggling, the students were giggling, and Mary's like, we need to do this on our new property too. And it was really cool. So that was a really highlighting thing. And then last year in April, they had really bad floods right when COVID was hitting, and the president had closed all the schools, including vocational training schools. So all the money we had, we put towards getting food to these people that were flooded and couldn't get out. So a lot of houses were washed away, and so we built some houses for people with the money we had. And so I got to go visit these people that we had. It was mainly widows, and it was all widows, basically. And then we built a bathroom for a couple that their bathroom had washed away. And you know, there's so many people that have no bathrooms. Can you imagine? You know, and now I'm back, I'm watching TV, and they have these mattresses that warm your feet to help you sleep. Are they just when you snore? And I'm thinking, people don't have bathrooms. So it's always hard to come back to. But so that was exciting. Got to see some of our tailoring students that have graduated. We were driving around to see these people that we build houses for, and all of a sudden there's Naima that with her sewing machine next to a grocery store. They're not like our grocery stores. Nothing's like America. And it's like, back up, back up. There's like one of our graduates. So that was fun. So a lot of good stuff, like say a lot of hard stuff. But you know, that goes along with it. So I'll fill you in on more sometime.
Thank you, Patty. Yeah. She was saying that, you know, some Sunday when I'm gone, she would show pictures and talk more about it. So I got to think about being gone.
There's another amazing tie-in. Dave Mann's daughter and son are here. And David lived in Bucharest, Romania.
So you know.
About 8 years, yeah.
Wow. Did you ever run into Mandy?
No, I went to an Orthodox Catholic church there, and sometimes the expatriate church, but I never really ran into her. It's actually a much bigger town than people think.
It's huge. It's a beautiful place.
It is nice, and the people are really wonderful there that I've met.
Wow.
I never thought I'd be there either.
It's like a small world.
It really is.
Wow. I'm glad you could be here, David. Well, okay, look at the time. And I invite you to stand as we hear God's word here today. It comes from Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. In Jesus' name, I read. They went to Capernaum. And when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching? And with authority? He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that we have before us today. Thank you of the amazing things that we've heard about already from Andy and from Patty. The things that you continue to do even close to 2,000 years later than what we have here. So use your word today. May you help me to bring it alive to where we live this day, and that you would use it, that your word would be good seed that falls on good soil in the hearts of everyone that's here today and those that are listening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, one of the things I hope you remember from last week is that God is looking for fat people. I got your attention on that one. Fat people. It's an acrostic. You know, what we're talking about is F is for faithful, A is for available, and T is for teachable. Those are the kinds of disciples, kinds of people that God is looking for. Faithful, available, and teachable. And that's why he called Simon and Andrew, James and John, and the other disciples, and he's called you. He's calling you as well to be that kind of a person and to let God work in your life in a way that these traits, these characteristics are really who you become and who you are here today. So it's okay to go around and tell people, "Well, I'm fat." And they go, "Like, you have to tell me I can see that." Well, it's a different kind of a fat. Faithful, available, and teachable. I want us just to look a little bit here today at our text. The first point I want to make is that Jesus does the stirring in the synagogue where he's at in Capernaum. Capernaum is right alongside the Sea of Galilee. And this is kind of his headquarters of his ministry in the Sea of Galilee. Today, if you go there, you'll find that the Catholic Church has built over the site of Peter's mother-in-law, has built over a chapel over the ruins of the house. And there is a glass floor that you can look down and see that this is definitely a place where Jesus has been at one time. And was there in Capernaum, but that's his base. That's kind of where he works out of, and everything kind of goes back around the Sea of Galilee and the place called Capernaum. Well, we find here that Jesus, is a guest teacher, a guest preacher for this congregation of Jews in the synagogue here in Capernaum, and it's not unusual for things like this to take place. And so the leaders of the synagogue invited Jesus to come and to teach them some things on this particular Saturday. Maybe it was a Friday night. I don't know. But Jesus got up and he began to speak. And it says here that the people were amazed at his teaching because he's someone who came and spoke with authority. Now, they had teachers of the law that would be there at times and would speak, but not at all like Jesus. And I believe that one of the reasons why Jesus spoke with authority, that people could see that, is that he didn't just give lip service to God's word, but that he lived it. I mean, he was the word, right there in their midst. And he is speaking away, and then what is going on in the congregation as they're being stirred by his spirit, by what he's saying, and then he's speaking the truth. And so it's the truth that oftentimes stirs us too. We hear the truth and we go like, oh yeah, that's a good point. Something I needed to hear. And sometimes the truth hurts, doesn't it? You know, sometimes we say that, well, the truth hurts. And we go like, yeah, I know. It does do that. But the congregation did not expect what was going to take place in this synagogue on this particular day on what did happen. Because there was a man in the synagogue, it makes you wonder, was it somebody that they knew? Was this a guy that had been a part of the congregation of this Jewish synagogue for a long time or for a little while? It doesn't say. It just says that there was a man who was there in the synagogue. It could be like anyone here in the congregation here this morning that you know of, that you've seen, that comes often. And as Jesus is teaching, all of a sudden, this guy does not say, amen. But he says, he interrupts Jesus as he's teaching and as he's preaching. And it really is a demon that is speaking. And it's a demon who is stirred by the truth of what he's hearing, and he cannot take it any longer. And he asks Jesus a couple of questions. He says this, what do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? It's interesting, he uses the pronoun us, which means more than one. But there's this one demon who is answering, calling out, asking Jesus these questions. And he goes on and he says, I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Well, do you think you got the people, the eyebrows a little going like, whoa, what's going on here? And how is he going to handle this one? It's not every day that you get somebody who speaks and interrupts what's going on in the church service and to realize it's from somebody that you go like, that's really odd that this person would do something like this. But it really was the demon in this guy. And so Jesus, he basically tells this demon to be quiet. Sternly, he just says, you be quiet. And then he tells him something other. You come out of him. Which he did. The command that Jesus gives, that you come out of him, and he comes out of this guy. And it says that they put this guy and started shaking him. So he's doing some kind of contortions of something's happening with him. I don't know if he's still standing, if he falls on the floor and does something. It doesn't say. But it does say that when the demon came out, he came out with a shriek. If you go in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 31 through 37, it kind of gives the same account of what's going on here. It says that the demon cries out at the top of his voice so that when he interrupts Jesus, it is loud. And he was really making a scene. and yelling it out, these two questions, and identifying who Jesus was and is. The third point is that these people are stirred by Jesus' authority. Because Jesus has power over anything and anyone that stands in the way in knowing him in their lives. And maybe in your life here this morning as well. Jesus has the authority to do anything in our lives. One thing we can be sure is that whoever was there at this particular worship service in the synagogue, they remember this one for quite a while. What took place. And so we find here the very first place in Mark's gospel where Jesus is acknowledged. He's acknowledged as God, as deity. The first place in Mark's gospel. He's identified as the Holy One of God. And what's really interesting is it's not by people who are there. But it's done by a demon who acknowledges him as God. You know who you are? The Holy One of God. You know, we don't find until, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 16 and following, that is the first place where one of the disciples comes out and confesses that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. It took a while for any of the disciples to come and to identify Jesus as the Messiah, as the Christ. But here in Mark's gospel, just think, earlier on, even before the disciples got to that point, you've got the spiritual world, demons, who know who Jesus is. Jesus says in the Great Commission in Matthew 18 through 20, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." That's true. All authority. But then he wants to give us that authority, those of us who are following him, who love him, who want to serve him. He says this, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." And sometimes we can go and sometimes we can't, but then sometimes we can give to help those who want to go, like we saw with Mandy. We heard from Patty. Think of Pastor Tim and Bev reaching the unreached, willing to go. But they need people who will help them to do what they want to do and follow the Lord. He says, go and make disciples of who? Of all nations. Romania? Yeah, Romania. Part of all the nations. Tanzania? Absolutely. Togo? East? No, it's West Africa. There's probably two other countries there.
Ghana.
Togo?
Cote d'Ivoire.
Yeah, Cote d'Ivoire. Is that French?
Yes, Ivory Coast.
Okay, the Ivory Coast. I know that one. But you know, just think of people of just one little congregation in Iowa who is taking to heart what Jesus says here in sending and helping people go to different places in the world. Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. One of the things I look back at when Simon Peter makes the confession that Jesus is the Christ, Jesus tells the rest of his disciples, even at that time, he says, keep that to yourselves. Don't let anybody else know. It's just that the time wasn't right. In time, they will know. I just cannot help but to think of how God has stirred in hearts and lives of people in Iowa and in other states and other places, other countries. There are churches sending missionaries to the United States. Did you ever think that would ever happen? Because they know that the United States needs a lot of help spiritually. What we find in our text today is like, you know, there can be people who attend church their whole lives and have heard about Jesus and never known him in their hearts. It's all head knowledge. You know you can miss heaven by 12 inches? All head knowledge is not in the heart. And God wants himself to be in your heart. It's always a good thing. So he may be stirring a little bit in you today. I don't know. But if he is, it's a good sign. A good sign. Your interest in life, your occupation, whatever it is, you might say, it just doesn't really fit on the mission field. Well, you know, it's interesting what God can do if you let him. What you like to do can be used somewhere else for his honor and his glory. And you know something? There will be no fulfillment in your life, no joy in your life until you answer that call. To understand it. Somebody might be called to go to Argentina to work with the Grouchos down there. Jack Johnson. They've never heard of Herefords. But maybe they got them down there. But you know, God can use your interests no matter what they may be. He will make you fishers of men. He will do it. Might not be a fisherman, but no matter what you are, he will use you in the hearts and lives of people in places you've probably never even thought of. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I know you're stirring in our midst. I just thank you so much, Lord, for Mandy, Roger, taking the time to send us this video. Well, she sent it to Angie, and she probably doesn't even know that Angie shared it with us, and we got to see her today. But I think she's going to hear about this real soon. But Lord, it's amazing how you use us when we yield ourselves to you and we become fat people of yours, faithful, available, and teachable people, willing to go or to follow you wherever that may be. Don't know the details, but we heard you say, come, follow me, and I will make you whatever the need is and the place where I want to send you, it'll be a good place. You just need to come and follow. So Lord, help us to listen to your voice today. It may start by just saying, am I right with you today, Lord Jesus? Or am I just playing the game of going to church? You mean business. And you give that opportunity, that invitation, that we'd hear your voice, and then we would follow you. Lord, we don't know what that always means, It's not always easy, but it's the way, the truth, and the life. And that's who you are. And you will never leave us, but you're always there with us. And if you are for us, who can be against us? So thank you, Lord, for this time that we've had here this morning. I'm just allowing you to stir our hearts, and we hope it's more than just a stirring, but that stirring will end, help us to become a follower of yours in the real sense, even if it's just here in Milford, Iowa, or this area. There are people who are lost. There are people who need Jesus Christ. There are people who are puppets of the devil. People's lives who are have been taken over by strongholds of evil. And only Jesus, only you, have the authority to set us free and to make us anew. So we ask that you would help us to do this here this morning or in the days ahead. Use us because you give us your authority. Let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed
be thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated.